Most events recorded in history are more remarkable than important, like eclipses of the sun and moon, by which all are attracted, but whose effects no one takes the trouble to calculate. Henry David Thoreau. Welcome to Casa de Confidence, a podcast for you. You'll hear some incredible women
and some awesome cool dudes
going confidently in the direction of their dreams and living in the purpose of their heart.
You're our host,
Julie DeLuca Collins, and you are our sidekick, hashtag handsome hot husband.
That again.
And the producer of the show.
That I am.
I am an author, speaker, coach, dreamer, and most of all,
we help people go in the direction of their dreams
and support them on their purpose. So pull up a chair,
grab a drink,
and make yourself at home, because our casa
is your casa. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Casa de Confidence. And Julie, look at you.
Look at me.
Talking about eclipses, and this week we have the upcoming eclipse of 2024.
Yes. And
was that intentional?
The quote?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that there's so many different things going on in history right now that we have to remember that no matter what's going on in the world or everything around us, what really matters is what's going on in our hearts.
What's going on in your heart?
My heart is telling me that I've been coughing too much.
I know. Julie's been sick ever since she got back from Florida.
Okay, not for nothing, but I am not a... Okay, I'm sorry, Amelia, my niece, but I am not a girl that likes Dave and Buster's, and I should just follow my instincts. And I knew that it was not a good idea to go to Dave and Buster's. It is a cesspool of germs. And I am.
It's a what?
It's a cesspool of germs.
Oh, very good. There's no T in that word.
Thanks for the correction, Daniel.
You're welcome.
What would I do without you? My goodness.
I don't know. You might say cement.
Wow.
Comment or so. I don't know. That's another word. That's weird. Sorry. I don't mean to correct
you. We're going
you.
Off the rails already.
We are going off the rails.
Hey, so, you know, what would you say is the importance of emotions?
The importance of emotions?
Yeah.
Emotions are important. I mean, that's what makes, it's one of the things that makes us human, right? Is emotion. But do you mean the importance of emotion or the importance of shaping or keeping your emotions within the realm of, to where you can actually operate on a day-to-day basis?
I think that sometimes we are so afraid of emotions, you know, because we feel that emotions are going to carry us in a direction that we can't handle, or we're afraid of looking at what we're feeling because, I don't know, we might be, afraid of what we may find.
So we're a lot like Spock. And I don't mean Dr. Spock. Oh, I mean Spock from Star Trek, who is half human and half Vulcan. And
I opened this can of worms.
Well, you were talking about emotions. This is the most relevant pop culture reference.
You forget that this is not a science nerdy podcast.
Well, what I'm saying is Spock. Most people in the world know who Spock is on Star Trek. And he is brought up on Vulcan. And he's so afraid of his human side that he keeps those emotions in check.
Do you keep your emotions in check?
I try to. Sometimes that doesn't work out. But for the most time, I'm fairly level-headed.
Why do you want to be level-headed? Why don't you want to be carried out by passion and emotion?
Well, of course, there's at times where I think having that emotion and being passionate is appropriate. But there's other times in civil society where, you know, you don't want to be looked at as like Saint Francis back in the day when he took off all his clothes and threw all his dad's freaking textiles in the streets and stuff like
but
that.
But perhaps there's nothing wrong with.
But what did they call him? They called him crazy.
Because the world is afraid of emotion. The world is afraid of passion. in one way or another. When people go all in something, then we start to look at that person as not falling within the norm.
Uh-huh. I see what you're saying here.
Yeah. How about that?
When you're emotional, you're not actually out of the norm, but you're in the norm?
So the one thing that I've been learning a lot from some of the incredible people that we speak to in this podcast is that emotions are energy in motion. And a lot of times we try to capture our energy and stifle it because we're afraid of it. Our guest today, Atusa, who, by the way, her name is Atusa Raisian. I'm sorry, Atusa.
She had trouble during the interview also.
Thank you, Dan. But she was named in the New York City Journal one of the top inspirational women in 2024. Wow. One of the conversations that she and I had is about a study by a scientist, a Japanese scientist. And one of the things that the scientists found is that crystals formed in frozen water reveal changes when a specific concentrated thoughts are directed toward them. So he found that water from clear springs and water that has been exposed to loving words show brilliant, complex, and colorful snowflake patterns, as opposed to the ones that are not. And our emotions are just a beautiful expression of our energy. And at times we become so trapped in the norm of being stoic, of being level-headed, that it becomes the thing we avoid. And yet there's so much healing when we allow ourselves to feel emotion, to feel the humanity that our feelings make us, right? We're human. We're going to hurt. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. We're going to express joy. We're going to be angry. And all of these emotions tend to be the ones that at times we avoid.
So you're saying that we shouldn't feel guilt for our emotions?
Is that a trick question from you, Dean?
It's not a trick question. I mean, that could free a lot of people up. Just knowing that, because a lot of us were told when we were younger, especially our generation, Gen X. I mean, we were raised by the baby boomer generation. I myself, my parents are older, so they were actually greatest generation. But I got a weird gap in my family where my parents are much older. But you're told, boys don't cry. And women who cry too much are crazy. And that's the thing. That's just one emotion we're talking about. And you're not allowed to. And you are just kind of crazy because you do it too much. And that was an opinion back in the day where women were seen as hysterical. I mean, even the word hysterical is based on the female anatomy.
Right.
And you being you being too emotional to lead and to do great things. And you know what? We need to normalize emotions as being okay.
Yeah. As long as you don't act in the emotions, so feeling anger is okay, right? And even in a biblical sense, Jesus felt anger. But then acting on your anger to hurt others is where we get in trouble.
Well, he hurt some tables.
Wow.
But he was proving a point at that point.
But here's the thing. We're so afraid of expressing what we're feeling. And yet our emotions are the things that drive us to act or not act in the way that is helpful to us. Like, think about business owners that are paralyzed because they're fearful of failure, or business owners who keep doing research on or try to continue to get better at, as opposed to actually acting in their business.
See, to me, you know, if you stifle yourself from feeling emotions, then you do not go through those emotions. And for me, that means if you don't go through it, then at some point in your business, in your travel, in your life, you are going to be in a position where you are going to be in a situation where you have to feel these emotions. And if you haven't felt them in the past, then you don't have that experience. And if you go through that now, let yourself feel those emotions, then you're prepared when the poo really hits the fan.
Well, we have to realize that there's so much energy or emotions, right? Energy in motion that needs healing, that needs to be expressed, that needs to be brought out to the surface. And this is a lot of what Atusa and I talk about, because, you know, there's so much, like the name of her podcast, Goodbye Bullshit, Hello Happiness.
I got to say, you know, I'm talking.
Yes.
But I haven't heard the episode yet. Really? So I really don't know actually what you're talking about. So I'm actually really, this conversation is priming me to listen to this.
Yeah. Well, so this you have to listen to it, because the reality is that we're not going to be able to heal or understand how we can better live our life and be aligned to ourselves, to our purpose, to the things that we want to do, unless we really begin to understand, you know, why we may be carrying some fears. What is the anger about? Where are we going with some of these things? And ultimately, our happiness and the way that we live life is going to come from us understanding ourselves better. And I think it's important that we express the gratitude for the moments that we have, and we notice the gifts that we have in the midst of everything that we've been through.
In the midst.
So tomorrow is going to be an incredible day. I want you to take it easy. Or if it's after the fact that you're listening to this episode, go easy on yourself. Go easy on your emotions. Be grateful and tackle those things that maybe you're afraid of. Because healing is about breaking down barriers, finding common ground, and knowing that that language that is common to all of us is love, is understanding, is compassion. And I hope that that's one of the things that you get from this episode.
Dang, if you get that out of a podcast, that's a good return on investment. All you got to do is listen to the end. Don't you think?
I guess so. Anyway.
So it sounds like an amazing interview. I'm really looking forward to it.
Just like our thoughts can change the structure of water, I want you to know that your thoughts can change the structure of your life. So make sure that you look at what your thoughts are creating when it comes to your emotions, and don't be afraid to experience those emotions. Just be careful of how you choose to act on those emotions and the change that you wish to bring into the world, into your life, into your interactions with others.
All right. So without further wait, Julie and Atusa.
Hi. Today I have Atusa Raisian, and I am excited to be able to speak to her. You know, when I met her, first of all, I love the name, and she is recognized as a shaman. And this is really intriguing to me. Transformational heart center healer and spiritual guide. She's a motivational speaker. She is also the best-selling author, poet, and digital artist. Her passion is to help people light up and guiding them to release their traumas and reprogram their fear-based living into a more heart-centered, peaceful life. Again, she has extensive experience that comes from years of transforming the life of her clients to tap into their truth, heart, and experience their desired life, and in turn, change their lives of those around them. Because of this transformational experience, her clients refer to her as guiding light, life-changing, best teacher and mentor, game changer, intuitive, gifted healer of magic. She has been featured in USA Today, Potomac Lifestyle Magazine, Entrepreneur Herald, and she has been a guest speaker in numerous podcast summits and workshops. So it is an honor to have her here. Welcome to the show, Atusa.
Thank you. I am actually honored to be here. Thank you very much. I know that bio is a mouthful.
Listen, I love reading people's accomplishments and journeys because it tells us a lot about where you've been. Did you, when you were that third grade girl and you had to write that little after school, summary of what you wanted to do when you grew up. Did you say this is what you wanted to do? What did you say you wanted to be when you
grew
up?
Not at third grade. That's a very good question. I love how you said it. Actually, it was a little bit before I went into school and like that beginning of elementary school, for sure. I had ideas of that I wanted to help people. I wanted to be a healer. I've mentioned this in other places. At that point, the movies about Jesus and Moses and prophets had come out. It was funny. I don't know if they, in the US, they came out at the same time or not. But for me, the way I remember it, it was like as if they were back to back. And I watched them several times. I loved them. And it was the idea that they were helping people to live better. And I kind of forgot about that because life hit,
Yeah, of course.
And a lot of stuff happened. And third grade, no, I was all about survival. Third grade in Iran, the revolution had already started. And my parents' divorce was hitting me hard too. They got divorced when I was probably around two. That's the age you're just getting to understand things a little bit more. So no, third grade was like, oh my God, my life is falling apart. Everything's miserable and, didn't fit in school. And, especially, it's funny. Just recently, several months ago, I looked back at my life and I thought that most of my traumas were centered around men, but it wasn't actually. When I looked at those specific traumas, I was like, oh my God, actually it was like the females and female community that I experienced a lot more than the males that I thought. So all interesting stuff.
It is interesting. And, you and I have a little bit of that in common. When you and I first met we talked about your story, your origin story. I also grew up in a country where there was a civil war going on and it's not easy. My parents divorced when I was about 5, 6. And although I will say this is the one difference. I kind of thought, I'm like, oh, this is cool. It makes me different than anybody else in my class. However, those are things that as children, we carry with us. And I would imagine that now, as someone who is helping others heal and get past some of their past trauma, you had to do a lot of healing yourself. Tell me a little bit more about that. What was your journey like to kind of get you to a place in which you began to uncover and peel those layers of the onion of life?
It's been a very good journey. And the interesting thing was when I was going through it, I didn't understand. And the words that I would always, when I was younger and going through it, even probably younger adult, was like, why is this happening to me? Why can't I get over these things? And just like wanted some way to fit in, be loved, and, all those things that everybody else wants, the relationship and money and all that. And but at the same time, as I was feeling those things, there was a part of me that was telling me, that's not the way. That's not the way.
And interesting.
It took me a while to discover, after going through all the healing and getting to a place where I let go of a lot of those past traumas, then I got to recognize, oh my God, I would not change a thing because every single one of those places I was gave me these tools, gave me these things that I'm using for other people now. Mm-hmm. And my goal is like, if I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
It just takes that shift and takes you to see, really get in touch that we are beyond these physical forms and physical experiences, and really then getting to enjoy everything that's coming to you. It's not about good or bad. It's mm-hmm. about experience, getting you to shift even more and experience different things. Even the pain, when you experience it through a different lens, mm-hmm. can be beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. I think that we definitely live in a world in which we try to categorize things as good or bad. And then when we start to see the big bad wolf behind things, right, then those are the beliefs that really hurt us. I totally agree with you. I think that looking back, there's some experiences that certainly weren't easy for me. But I would not change that for the world because I love the place where I'm at. And I know that I wouldn't be here if it weren't for my past self that did the best she could and kind of made choices that sometimes, you know, led me to the places that I wanted to, or sometimes took me in detours. But it's all about accepting the moment and being present and grateful. Is gratitude a part of your life and of the things that you incorporate?
Gratitude is a big one. Gratitude for sure. And it's not just gratitude for big things. Gratitude is like every moment, all the time, you know, everything that's happening is just like, grateful. Every little thing, really. It's not, people get used to like gratitude journals and got to write it down. It's like, why need a journal? Just like, you're breathing.
Oh, look around you.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And the other piece of it was love, self-love. Mm. You know, start falling back in love with yourself and your body and your wounds and your, you know, scars. Really start loving everything about yourself.
Yeah, self-love is, you know, that journey that I am still on. I am such a perfectionist, and at times I am not very kind to myself. So it's definitely a journey, but it's a very important part of continuing to grow. I have learned that self-love for me comes a little easier when I am grateful, when I practice gratitude. I just interviewed, and actually, so I have to show you, I just interviewed, her name is Peggy D. Long, and she is a psychologist, but she focuses on gratitude. She went through a very traumatic experience when she was in her early 20s. Her fiance was diagnosed with a terminal disease, and she walked through, you know, him passing. But the one thing she realized was gratitude. And like you said, it's not that she started to write a gratitude journal. She was sitting with a cup of coffee, hazelnut coffee, she says. And she looked at the coffee while she was in the hospital room. And she said, wow, I'm really grateful for this cup of coffee. And that started to kind of shift her mind. Why is it, do you think, many of us are not taught necessarily to look at the little moments, and why, how can we shift our world to kind of allow people to be conscious and present and notice the little moments that add up to great things?
There are different reasons I think that that is happening. One is everybody's too focused on the outside and what they are not getting and what they are not having. And it's easier that way. And to be honest, if you focus like that, then when you're grateful for the big stuff, it's not that really you're grateful for the big stuff. You're really afraid of losing that big stuff. And you're saying, let me at least be grateful for these things, because I don't want my, you know, my house to go away. You know, I don't want my car to go away. I don't want my health to go away. So let me say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Please don't take these away. I'm really afraid if you take these away.
Yeah.
And so it's that fear, and that fear that we're chasing things on the outside that does not allow us to be grateful for those moments. And as kids, that's what we thought, you know. You need to get good grades. You need to go do this. You need to be this. It's always be something else and be greater than this. And that takes you away. But then when you pause and you stop and you just stay present in the moment and become aware, whatever it is happening, then you can see those little moments better. Then you can get in touch with those moments a little bit better. And mm-hmm. the best thing to start, nature.
Oh,
get in
so
nature
good.
And that gratitude comes right away.
Atusa, walk me through. Okay. I love being able to go for a walk and clear my head and, you know, just kind of be present. But I have a real big challenge because I live in New England. And once it gets cold, I make all kinds of excuses. Tell me a little bit more of, like, because I know that I'm not alone. I think that there's a lot of people also that have the intention to, and they know that walking is so great for us, that connecting to the outdoors, getting some fresh air, vitamin D is incredibly important, but yet we don't prioritize it and we give ourselves a bunch of reasons why not do it. What would you say to me?
What I would say is, first of all, find out why the cold is getting to you. A lot of us actually, we are, we have a difficult time with cold temperatures because of how it makes our body feel.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, again, because once you start releasing things, you realize that fear energy is tied into the cold weather, feeling cold, and how the body responds to cold. So get a little bit more comfortable with the cold, because as soon as the cold hits, your body goes into tense mode.
Yeah.
You don't like that tense feeling. So you're like, I know I'm going to go get tensed up and I don't want to do it. So look into that a little bit. And then also, being in nature has nothing to do with exercise, has nothing to do with anything. It can be 5 minutes. It can be 2 minutes. You just go outside your door, take in a fresh air. If you are willing, go sit next to a tree, go stand next to a tree. And even if you want to do a little bit more, take your shoes and socks off and plant your feet just for a couple minutes on the grass. That's all it takes. It doesn't need anything more than that. A couple years ago, actually, it was, we haven't had snow for a couple years. I think last year we didn't get anything. So it must have been either the year before, the year before that. And we had really a lot of snow. And I went out to shovel. And then it's just like my body really wanted to just go in the snow. And I did. I took not all my clothes off, but as much as like my jacket off and my gloves off. And I just went like planted myself in the snow and just let the cold air. I just was feeling the cold air. And at that moment, I was like, oh my God, I'm so grateful for this. And letting it come in.
I appreciate that. And I, you know, I'm thinking back to moments in which I have been in the outdoors. I used to ski and I haven't done that for a while. I've been in nature and I know it's so healing in some ways to be able to connect to nature in all seasons. Not just in the summertime, but really and see the beauty of spring or again, the turning of the leaves in the fall. And, and it's one of my favorite things to really find those moments in whatever season we are, but I don't do it enough. And I think that I love this advice. I am going to get curious and definitely go and do some of that connecting. I let my dogs out to the yard. So maybe I just need to go and hang out with them and, you know, play a little more because I think they would love it and appreciate it. You've been practicing this for 17 years, and you have really transformed the lives of the clients that you have worked with. What are typical clients working through, and what are some of the things that you help them accomplish?
My clients range from a lot of different traumas, but I think one thing that they all have in common is that they have tried therapy. They have tried different methods. And I actually have different therapists and coaches send me their clients as well.
Amazing.
And part of that reason is I get to see and get in touch with the parts that are hiding inside that they're not aware of, they can't see. And I get to connect with those parts and bring it out for them to become aware of it. Mm-hmm. And that awareness really is the most important part, because once you're aware, I can't hide anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then in that awareness, then I get to work with them to heal it, release it, and reprogram it.
Mm-hmm. I think that awareness, again, you know, we go through life with so much that the world is saying we should be doing. And we run from activity to activity, and we buffer a lot of what is coming up, what we're feeling. And we never give ourselves that moment to tune in. Like, what am I feeling? What is going on? And how can we really start to kind of process some of that? You are a shaman, and I mentioned that, you know, you're my first shaman here. Tell me a little bit more about what does that mean? And for someone who maybe is not familiar, and what was your journey, and, how do you, continue to support people, and what are the practices that you have as a shaman?
Shamanism, actually, most people probably don't know, but when you look at the history, or the written history, I should say, it says it started back in Siberia. But what actually, to me, what a shaman is that you are really connected with nature. You are really connected with the elements, and you are able to sort of communicate and navigate the different realms, let's say spiritual realms. And in that navigation and communication, you get to bring that guidance and message to, for yourself, for your clients, for whatever it is, but without tainting it, without putting that human touch on it, or your fears, or whatever you're carrying. So bringing that out. And a lot of the shamanic healing, what falls under shamanic healing that I do for my clients is like cord cutting, generational healing, and a lot of different, it could be ceremonial things. So yeah, there's a lot of different things that falls under that category.
Yeah, I've you know, started to really delve and learn more in the past few years about trauma. I mentioned I grew up in a world where there was war all around me. And if you had said to me 10 years ago, "Oh, Julie, you've gone through trauma," I would have said, "No, not me, not at all. I've had a good life." Right? But we don't realize that it's not only the things that we've encountered through our life that we've kind of push in and not really paid attention to, but it really is some of the generational trauma that we're carrying that is encoded into our DNA. And you know, epigenetics talks about how when you're like, if my grandmother went through a traumatic experience as she was carrying my mom, I was also there in the womb as well. So all of these things begin to be the fears, be the things that we carry that we don't understand. Tell me, generational trauma, again, is something new that a lot of people haven't necessarily heard. What is the first sign that people should look for when that will let them know that this might be something that they can maybe connect with someone like you to help them process?
Good question. If anybody's interested, the book that I published actually goes a lot into that generational trauma and that process. Mm. So in there, I actually explain, like right now, science has proven that those illnesses that we're saying, like you have high blood pressure that came yeah. from your dad's side, you have heart problems that came from your mom's side. You have cholesterol that came from dad, all those things. And they're saying, okay, dad came in the DNA, and mm-hmm. as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So in that DNA coding, what they're not sort of realizing is that, so at some point, whoever in the past got that cholesterol, got that high blood pressure, got that heart problem, was because they went through a traumatic experience. And that's how their body responded. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows, not everybody, but I think majority of people out there know about Louise Hay. And, mm-hmm. you know, she was the first one to yeah. come and say, you know, well, high blood pressure means this in emotional, energetical terms. So that's what happened. Your great grandmother, your great, great, great grandfather suffered a trauma that caused that high blood pressure, caused that heart problem. It was an emotional thing that happened that caused mm-hmm. it. So that's how it's transferring through the DNA to you. And it's not just, that's part of it. Then you add in the societal stuff that was happening around mm-hmm. them that passed as well. And the trauma of what they were experiencing, like, for example, your mom was experiencing. So it all gets compounded and it comes yeah. into you. Now, the way to release it is not, we're not blaming them, mm-hmm. but realizing that we come into these forms, into this life, to see that story and say, hey, I'm going to change it. I'm going to forgive the past.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the one that changes it. I'm not going to let this pass forward. Because the other part of this generational healing, if we look at it, what's happening in our world right now, these wars, these killings, whatever, all those things that we're labeling as bad and happening outside, it is because of those things that has happened many, many years yeah. ago, thousands, 3,000 years ago, that people are still fighting over, and nobody's forgiving the past. Nobody's releasing it. Nobody's healing it.
Yeah. I love that you talk about healing, because I think that this is one of these things. And, you know, here in the States, we're getting ready to celebrate the holidays, and, I really believe that in order for us to have peace, we really have to look into healing. We really have to look into ourselves first. It's not about, I hope these people have peace. No, look inside you, because at the end of the day, we're all human and we're not going to be perfect. And every action is going to have a reaction. And it's, we're putting into our interactions with others, whether we know it or not, a little bit of what can make a difference and what could create healing or can aggravate circumstances. I love everything that you've been sharing, and thank you so much. This is incredibly educational and continue to help my growth. And I know that our listeners are definitely listening. You use several different modalities when you're working with individuals in your practices. You help them rewire emotional, mental, physical, and energies and bodies. A lot of times when we're talking about energy, and again, I think that I'm going to use myself as an example. I grew up in a very religious environment. I grew up in a very Catholic environment. And when you started to talk about energy, that was kind of frowned upon. And for many years, I had a very closed mind. But tell me, for the people and myself, right, who maybe are in that circumstance, that they're just not sure about this. What does it mean? What is energy healing? And help me understand a little more, because I believe that understanding helps us to be able to be more accepting.
Yes, really good one too. Good question. I actually have clients that come from different religious backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we do actually as part of the healing that we do is the, I don't want to call it religious trauma, but it is a sort of a trauma because of those things that you've been thought of in religion, not recognizing that part of what you're being taught is not really what I want to call God's religion. It's more of a human religion. Yeah. And if we look at the basis of all these different religions and go back in the history, again, I go over it in detail in my book, mm-hmm. but all of it comes down to the all most majority of it comes to God, universe, whatever you want to call it, divine. It all yeah. comes to being about love, unconditional love, mm-hmm. and the oneness of everything that it's in each of us as well.
Yeah.
So then now considering going to your question of energy and energy healing, we are these energy bodies. And to connect to it, to realize it, is look at yourself. Everybody can, almost everyone can say, you know, I walk into a space and I feel different. When I'm with this person, I feel different. Even like certain rooms, certain things in the house makes you feel different things. That's because of energy. A person can be standing in front of you and can be saying something, but you're like getting a different vibe because you're connecting with the energy of what's happening inside of them and not the words that are coming out. So if you realize that we are all energy and we communicate through energy, then also we are communicating to everything else around us through energy. Most of our body, we contain water. There's water in the atmosphere. So water is one of those biggest sort of like energy communicators among humans, us with nature, us in the air, everything. And if you are transferring whatever's happening in that energy through the air, through the other people, they are feeling it. There was actually a Japanese scientist that did an experiment on water. And he was taking water and they're like these great microscopes. And, you know, if you said, you know, good things or thought good things, the water molecules would be all separated and nice and pretty. And if you said bad things or thought bad, like, you know, like anger or whatever, those kind of emotions that we've labeled as bad, these water molecules were like jagged and coming together in bundles and all types. So imagine that. Again, water's in all of us, water's in the air, water's in nature. So that energy is transferring. Hope that explained it.
I was coughing and I had muted myself. Yeah, it explains it beautifully because I do think that we don't understand that it's that energy in motion. And, you know, for instance, I was working, I might have been doing an interview and my husband came in and I immediately felt this energy that he came in with and I really got concerned and I thought, what's going on? So I finished and I went up and I said, hey, what's going on? It's like nothing. And I thought, no, something is going on. I feel this energy that you're vibrating this sense of something is wrong. And he said, well, I was driving home and I almost got into a really bad car accident to scare the bejeebies out of me. And I've never been that scared because there were cars that were going 100 million miles per hour. One of them almost hit me. I got out of the way. And really, it shook him up. But and it makes me really, truly embrace this, that we don't pay attention. But certainly when we walk into a room and, you know, the vibe, the energy is low and is vibrating very low, we're going to absorb a lot of that. And the same way when we're coming in, and into a room too, we can have an impact and really create that ripple effect that we talk about. So I thank you for explaining that. I think that It was very beautifully said. There's so many different things that I want to unpack with you, and I don't know if we have a lot of time. So I'm going to do some rapid fire questions. You've talked about your book. We haven't talked about your podcast. You have some great content on your podcast, by the way. I love the name of your show. And for those who want to check it out, it is Goodbye Bullshit, Hello Happiness. And you can find it on YouTube. You can go into Atusa's website and you can go into her podcast and find her episodes through that. I also saw some short clips on Instagram as well. So that was very fun to kind of look through. But your podcast is something that you're putting a lot of content. Will you be bringing more episodes back?
I hope so. I stopped doing them for a bit now. And it was just, I don't like to follow rules.
Oh, I love it. And, me neither.
And I noticed that the podcast had become something that it was like, I had to do it a certain way and I had to do it at certain times in a certain way. So I stopped it. And until I can get back into where it's kind of free flowing for me, I'm not going to start it. But I have a feeling it's going to be soon next year. Like I'm getting the vibes again, like, you know, great. Get out there and do it. So yeah.
The content creation is calling you.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah.
Yeah. And you're a creator, you're a poet. We talked a little bit and you shared a little bit about your award-winning book. It's a bestseller and is Change Yourself, Change the World. What was the first inspiration to write the book?
The first inspiration was that I really wanted to change the world.
Amazing.
And I wanted people to know the change comes from inside of them. Mm. And a lot of the things we talked about, I knew so many people had those questions. So I answered them here and gave them a lot of tools to start the work.
Yeah, amazing. Well, it's actually, I have to tell you, I put it on my cart and I never did get it, but I'm going to after this conversation. So I can't wait. My husband says, how are you going to get through all these books? But I do, you know, and I just love, I am a reader. I can't help it. I need to maybe take a few days during Christmas and just read and reconnect to others' great wisdom and insights. I saw also, and I want to talk a little bit about this because I just hosted, an accidental retreat. I host a virtual retreat for my clients in which I help them plan their year. I call it the Confident You CEO Retreat. And it's a time in which I host it in a day and people come in and they plan their year. They review how they did and what are their goals as we're starting to really align with the new year. But this year sounds fun. Yeah, it is very fun. So now what would happen this year is I had set a date for doing it. And one of my clients said to me, hey, can I just come to your house and do it in person? And she's been here for, she does VIP days every quarter with me and we go and I help her. So I said, sure, you can come. It's not a problem. And then the next thing, another one of my clients said, oh, if she's coming, I want to come too. And the next thing you know, there were three of them. And I said, look, I have my TEDx coming up, and I really, you know, you guys want to come, you got to coordinate, you know, get an Airbnb and you coordinate that. The next thing you know, it's 10 of them that came, and it was a wonderful experience. By the time I finished my TEDx in the middle of November, we had 2 weeks, we had Thanksgiving, but it was a wonderful time and I really loved it. And now I anticipate doing this in person every year because it was a great time to reconnect, be in community, really be able to tune into each other, celebrate each other's wins, and really be able to, again, encourage each other to move forward and create these great visions for our world, for our life, for our business, for the people around us. So now you have a retreat in Tulum in March, I believe. Yes. Tell me more about what got you started. What is the retreat about and how can people maybe connect with you? Is it sold out?
Tulum, it started a while ago. You know, like I love how you said it. That's exciting. Like, you know how things come together.
Yeah.
So I think it was probably, again, about 2 years ago. It's just like the idea of retreats was coming up and, you know, I was doing other stuff. And then out of the blue, this person reached out to me. She puts together retreats and she's like, you know, I think you'll be great. I'm like, well, I've been thinking about it. And, you know, then suddenly Tulum popped up for me. I'm like, okay, let's do it in Tulum. And everything sort of lined up. Even the location we picked out, I mean, it's an amazing location. It's such it's a boutique hotel. Uh-huh. So it's very small and it's in the middle of the jungle. And they built this around the nature, so they didn't touch a lot of the things and they replanted a lot of things, the trees that they had to put down. So it's like they were really conscious of the environment. So it's got a really great energy to it. And I said, okay, let's go do it. And amazing. To be honest, I picked end of March because that's when my son has his spring break. And I said, let's do it then. And it's not sold out, but I have to be very honest. So if it doesn't, I need a minimum number until end of December. If I reach that minimal number, we're going to go through. If not, then I have to look at changing the time. So we got 5 people already registered.
Okay.
And one more person is going to be a yes. 3 is a definite yes, and we're done. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see where universe takes me. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If not.
Well, again, I think that that's, you know, exactly how it works out. If it's meant to be, it comes about.
Yes.
And it really is going to be a wonderful experience. I was looking at it. I'm like, oh, that sounds amazing. As an Enneagram 7, I want to do it all. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I could do this because I'm supposed to be going to another retreat in April. So it's like, okay. But it looks amazing. The accommodations, you know, the resort, it's the Cantaloon Luxury Resort. And it's incredible. It's beautiful. I went and I checked it out as well. Where can people find you? Well, hold on. Before you tell us where we can find you, I do have another question. And this is, again, something that I feel that we should talk a little bit about. You share that you are of Iranian descent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there have been a lot of things in the news that really broke my heart. And, you know, the women of Iran have been definitely in my heart. Tell us a little bit of what we can do. Or inform us, give us a little bit short clip on how can we support them and what is going on?
What is going on is actually nothing new. It's started with the Iran Revolution, and Iran went from we went from a monarchy to a sort of a religious government. And it's more about, again, man's religion of how they perceive what women can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. So it started when I was there. But then over the years, you know, people have gotten tired of it because women were not allowed to do sports. Women were not allowed to be in stadiums. Women are not allowed to wear certain things, sing, yeah, dance, you know, hold hands in public. And a lot of these things in public you cannot do.
Yeah.
Even for most people, not just women, you cannot sing and dance in public. And there's a lot more. So over the years, the younger people that have been coming, the generations after, that's the change. The generations after me, they're like, we're not putting up with this anymore. So they're becoming more outspoken, more rebellious, and they want to change the system where this is not, you know, working for us. But what happens is that the Iranian government takes them, put them in prison. People don't know where they're at. Mm-hmm. They are beaten. Some have died because of their beatings. And it's continuing right now still, that they just take them randomly. And, you know, there's no lawyers, there's no court system, nothing. They're just taken.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when they're beaten and they die, their family, they just tell their families, like, we put the body somewhere there, go find it. Or, they sometimes not even that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that, how you can support is, I would say different ways. One, work on yourself. Again, that ripple effect to change the world.
Yeah.
That's important. Secondly is to educate others, tell them about what's going on.
Yeah.
It's not that they want US to come start a war there. Mm-hmm. It's just that help us be heard. We want more people to hear what's going on inside Iran. We're doing what we can, but you take our voice, send it to UN, send it to other governments, send it to leaders for the leaders to stand up and say, hey, we see you, Iran. We see you, the Islamic Republic, and we're not going to stand for this. So those are the best things you can do. Yeah.
Thank you so much for that. And I think that it is so easy in a world where we have a news cycle that when the story becomes old, we stop focusing on it. Yet the atrocities and the injustices and the pain keeps going for the people who are living it. So I definitely wanted to make sure that we talked about it and we shared, because the more that we bring light to these places of darkness where people are, you know, doing unspeakable things and causing pain, it's important to really be able to shine light on it. So thank you again for sharing that. And yes, now I have to, because I've been imposing in your time and you've been so gracious. Where could people find you, Atusa?
My website is probably the best place, which is my first name, last name.com, AtusaRaisian.com. And then on there, my social media is on there. I'm on Instagram, on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. So anywhere you want to reach out to me, by all means, would love to chit chat.
Amazing. And I am excited that we are connected, that we continue to kind of following you on Facebook and Instagram. So I can't wait to see your updates and your incredible content as you release it. You're doing some great work in the world and really creating this incredible journey for others in which they can find healing, in which they can find transformation and empowerment for themselves, and then help others do the same and go in this journey. So make sure that you connect with Atusa, give her some love on social media, and let her know that you found her through the Casa of Confidence and Confident You radio show. So thank you for being here. Will you come back?
Oh my God. Yes. This is an amazing show. I love your energy.
And thank you.
Thank you for the work you're doing, because these shows, these conversations are really important. And, you know, your beautiful energy, your beautiful words, experiences is changing the world. So thank you for what you're doing.
You're very kind. Well, thank you as well. And don't forget, my friend, go confidently in the direction of your dreams.
Thanks for listening to Casa de Confidence. We thank you for listening. And if you want more, go to CasaDeConfidencePod.com. Check Julie out on her socials as Julie DeLuca Collins. And you can also check out her website at GoConfidentlyCoaching.com. Have a great week, and don't forget, go confidently in the direction of your dreams.
Hi, everybody. I know that sometimes we get very lonely in this entrepreneur journey, and I want to invite you to join us into our limited time only Purposeful You Mastermind. For many of us entrepreneurs, we believe that we can do it all. But the reality is that doing it alone only creates a lot of overwhelm. So join us at the Purposeful You Mastermind. You can find out more information by going to bit.ly/Julie's Mastermind. This is going to be the place where you are able to then unlock your full potential and achieve long-term success for your business, push you behind your current limits, expand your connections, discover new ideas, and implement them with confidence. You're going to get the support in all aspects and transforming you to the six-figure business you've been looking for. Pause and get off the hamster wheel if you've been spinning around. This is a time where you can get that support from like-minded entrepreneurs that are here to join you in your journey. Together, we can challenge the assumptions and land the speaking engagements and opportunities we want to grow our business and make an impact in the lives of people. See you then. Remember, you can find the mastermind at bit.ly, Julie's Mastermind.